A very good afternoon to you. The chairman has just mentioned that I'll be speaking from Isaiah chapter 38 and on the topic, A King Who Wants to Live to Please God. I know how many of you remember incidences in your childhood. Can you remember something that happened when you are a child, your teens, you know, or even as a youth? Well, I trust and believe that we do remember something, okay, and it's interesting, that we do remember things that happened so long ago, and especially things that are of an offense. Somebody offended us, and probably we remembered it for a long, long time, okay. Well, there are things that are nice, we want to remember them. There are things that actually hurts us, but we still remember them. And sometimes I was thinking it is true that if one day I should suffer from Alzheimer's, dementia, it seems that I'll remember things that happened during my childhood and I'll not remember what I've taken for my lunch. Okay, what did Maureen cook for lunch? Some of you have forgotten. Okay. Now, I remember something that happened when I was 13 years old. I think I've mentioned here that I grew up in my grandmother's house. And it is near to a river called the Pongo River. Any Singaporeans here? Okay. Yeah, Matthew would know. Do you know Pongo River? Well, some sort of, but I think the idea of a Pongo River today will be like a waterfront. Nice promenade, you know. But it was not so in those days, alright? It was just a river that comes, water that comes from the streets of Johor. Now, one thing that we do get, and we get them plentiful, is crabs. Okay, so during my school holidays, I would lay traps to catch crabs. Alright, crabs are expensive. But in those days, I can have it free. So I go and catch. And when we're talking about crab, we are talking about mud crab. Nice big claws, you know. One day, a friend of mine went out to the river to do the catching of crabs. Unfortunately, the receding tide dragged him out into the sea. He drowned. He died. His death impacted all of us who knew him. We were sad, fearful. Alright. We fear death. Okay. I think that's a reality. I have some people who come to me and say, No, I don't fear death, you know. I'm ready for death. I don't know how many of us are really ready for death. Okay. I'm one for sure, I'm not ready. Okay, because I do not want to miss my granddaughters. Now, not only one, but two. Okay, my children and my family. And of course, in parts, I do not want to miss you. You know, brethren here in London New Life. Okay, so I don't want to die. I fear death. But now a reality struck us because a friend of ours, same age, right? We don't go to the same school, but I know that we are of the same age. He died by drowning. There's so much that went through a boy's mind, 13 years old. I say, no, I want to represent the country. I was playing a game in those days, you know, as a young boy. And the aspiration is, I want to don the Singapore colour. I don't know whether you know such a term. Means wearing the sports outfit with the Singapore colour in it. Okay. Some have other plans. I even remember a friend was thinking of immigrating to the States at that young age. Yeah. So we have all our ideas. So death is never in our mind. Now, bringing out this story has to relate with the king that I want to mention this afternoon. His king Hezekiah. We have just read about him in Isaiah chapter 38. Alright, and there are other references. We may read 2 Chronicles chapter 30, where there is a record of his life. Okay. Now, in the beginning of Isaiah chapter 38, we are told that God sent Isaiah to him. Okay, and what was the message that Isaiah carried to him? Now, it wasn't a good message. The message is that you must now set your house in order because you are going to die. Okay, now, that is a good advice. Huh? Setting our house in order. But then the next phrase, ye shall die, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, that phrase, it's not something nice for King Hezekiah. Okay. We know that he suffered a disease called boil. Exactly what that is, we don't know. It is mentioned later on in verse 21. Because in verse 21, when God decided to heal him, God says, you put a piece of fig and plastered it onto the boil. Okay, now what exactly that is, we don't know. Okay, but it was a debilitating disease that will eventually lead to death. And the prophet came with this pronouncement that ye shall not live. You will die. Okay? Now, when Isaiah heard that, he was sad. Okay? Because he was not an elderly king. He was a young king. I will tell you his age later on. And he doesn't want to die. Well, there are many reasons for not dying. Okay? First, he's a king and a country. At that point in time, according to chapter 37 of Isaiah, alright, Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, has just planned an attack on Jerusalem. Okay, and he's the king. Alright, and you know that kings are commander-in-chief, like the American president. He calls himself the commander-in-chief. Okay, so he's to lead his people to repel the attack of the enemies. But now God says, you are dying. You are going to die. So probably that is one reason. He says, no God, I don't want to die. Okay. And then I've just said, he's still young. You know, and he has a young family. And then he pleaded with God. Verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And verse 3, and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now look at his prayer. And you'll notice something significant. He did not say, God, heal me. Right? There's nothing about healing. Okay? He prayed facing the wall. Alright? I mean, the Jews do that even today. They will go to the Wailing Wall. That is their custom. They pray facing the wall. And then, in verse 3, he says, God, remember me. Okay? I have maintained a perfect heart before you. I have done that which is good in your sight. Now, we know that Hezekiah was a good king. Alright. There are about 20 kings in Judah. Many of them are not good. But there were a few. And Hezekiah was one of those good kings. Now he did not say, Lord, heal me. I have this terrible disease. Right? But the desire of his heart is known to God. Okay? Now sometimes when we pray, we don't even have to mention, right? God, I need this. Okay? Yeah. You tell God something, and God knew What is the desire of your heart? Well, because he's an all-knowing God. Okay? If I'm not well, I need to tell God that, I need to do my work. So God knows that I need healing. So God knew the desire of Hezekiah's heart. And we are told that he wept sore. Now this is significant. Because when we pray to God, we have to pray with a very sincere heart. You know? It is not just, God, if you want to give me, give me. If you don't give me, it's alright. Now, for Isaiah, he could not have prayed that, right? Because if he said that, then God says, you die. Okay? But he wept sore. He poured out his heart in tears. Because he wants healing. He wants to leave. Why he wanted to leave? Well, the answer is in the topic of my message. He wants to leave to praise God. And we're going to look at it afterward. He wants to praise God. Okay? And then there is one more reason why God allowed him to leave. If you look at verse 7. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do these things that he had. No, it should be verse 6, sorry. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. Now, if you read this text carefully, you'll notice that there is this hint that God is going to deliver Judah from the king of Assyria because of Hezekiah. Okay? And God has a plan for Hezekiah that is through him to deliver the people of Judah from the enemies. Now, having said this, we will realize that there is a contradiction, right? What is the contradiction? Simply is, on one hand, God says, "Ye shall die." Then on the other hand, God says, "I will add to you 15 years." Right? Did God mean that he will die? But then why did God say, "I will add to you 15 years"? Now, when we read this, and if we do not know who God is, and we do not believe in the sovereignty of God, we think that, you know, God contradicts himself. One time he says he will die, another time he says, "I will let you live on for 15 years. Now, we have to realize that God is sovereign. Whatever happened, it happened in his sovereignty. Hezekiah suffered a kind of illness called boil. Does God know? He knew. Did God allow it? God allowed it. Okay. You remember a man whom God allowed Satan to test him by an affliction of boils? Job. See, God allowed it. Okay. And will God heal him? Yes, God did, finally. So you see, the sovereign will of God is always in his work. We cannot separate this. God's sovereignty and his work. His work of mercy, his work of healing. It's always there. Okay? Now, it's the in-between that God wants to see the heart of man. What is the in-between? In Hezekiah's case, he was ill. A serious illness. Okay? And then God has determined to heal him, to allow him to die. But this in between, we see Hezekiah pray. Okay. Now, many a time, God wants us to do that. You know? So, we don't leave things to fate. F-A-T-E. It happened, let it happen. You know? If today I go out and something happened, let it happen. No. Everything happened in the will of God. And when God allows something to happen, he knows how to take care of it. Now what should we do? Now, many of us would blame God, right? God, you asked me to do this, why this thing happened? Okay? You asked me to come to London, why the plane is, delayed, or worse still, the plane disappeared somewhere. Okay? Yeah, this morning I was just reading MH370, a new theory. Okay. Yeah. Now, God knows. You see, and what must I do? I must accept the sovereignty of God, and then I must react accordingly in His will. Right? If I'm not well, I pray. When I'm in trouble, I pray. That's what God wants. And that is where we see the power and the miraculous working of God. And that is what we meant when we say there is power in prayer. So I hope we see that. Okay. So for Hezekiah, he has an illness. God says he will die. But then eventually God added 15 years to his life. Okay. Because in between he prayed. Now, in my understanding, as a human being, okay, I see the sovereignty of God. I see answers to prayer. And these are real. Right? So we should and must believe in prayer. He hears prayer. He answers them. He honors your faith. I hope we have faith to trust in God. And then God gave him a sign. God says, I'm going to show you a sign. The sundial of Ahaz will turn back by 10 degrees. Now, I know sundial is something that we don't really know, but if you want to know, go to the Science Museum here in London. There's one that is called the Benoit sundial. Okay. Of course, it is one that is created by this man called Benoit. And it's named after him. Now, what you see today will be very different from the time of King Ahaz. Right? We are talking about long ago. Okay. Now, the sundial of Ahaz is a very simple one. All right. Now, first of all, sundial is used to read time. Okay, by the position of the shadow. When it casts a shadow on the norm, which is either a rod, okay, or it can be a piece of a metal triangular like a fin of a fish. And when the position of the sun shines, you know, and you cast a shadow, and when the shadow falls on certain point, you know that is the time of that time of the day. Now, in Hezekiah's time, it was 12 steps. Okay. Now, I've read books. Some say 12, some say 10, but it's between 10 to 12 steps. Okay, steps. You know, and they built on an angle. All right, and there are two walls. Okay, and so when the sun shines, when it is midday, it shines right onto the two steps, huh? Okay, and then when it is morning, it shines. Then there's a shadow, you know, cast on the opposite side, and it will tell the people of those days the time. Of course, not as accurate as ours to the very second, because today we have a clock. Okay, but they know. Oh, this is 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, and then if the sun goes down the other side and it shines, casts a shadow the other side, they know it is 3 p.m., 4 p.m., you know, that kind of thing. Okay, so to prove to Hezekiah that God heard his request or his prayers, God says, this will happen, alright? That the shadow will be cast back 10 degrees. Okay. And then from verses 9 to the end of chapter 38, it's interesting. Now you read carefully, you'll notice that it is more of a recollection. Okay? What was he recalling? He was recalling the time he was afflicted with the illness. Okay? And when God, through prophet Isaiah, said that he would die. Okay? And when this thing came, oh, many things went through his mind. And verses 9 to 22 records his recollection. Verse 9 says, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he has been ill and was recovered of his illness. And he said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. So he's recollecting. Okay, now he's well. He's healed of his sickness. And then he says, I recollect, okay, when God says, I would die. God, you are depriving me of the residues of the years. That means my life. Okay. Now, how old was Hezekiah then? Okay, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, and the daughter of Zechariah. Okay, now this verse gives us the information of his kingship. We are told that he began to reign at the age of 25, and he was king for 29 years. So he died at the age of 54. Right? Because you add 25 plus 29, started to reign at 25 and he reigned for 29 years, so he died at the age of 54. Now, when was he afflicted then with an illness that God said he would die? Well, God added 15 years to his life, correct? So it must be the later 15 years. Okay, so you take 54 minus 15. In other words, Isaiah appeared to him when he was 39 years old. Correct? 39. And that is a young age. I think not many of us here are younger than 39. Right? I'm not making you too old either. Okay. But 39 is quite a young age. And now we can understand why he said back in Isaiah 38, verse 10, he says, I am deprived of the residue of my years. I could have lived longer. Okay? As I've mentioned earlier, when I saw the death of my friend, my thought is, God, I mean, at that point in time, I wasn't a Christian. I accepted Christ a year later. Okay, so 13 years old, I accepted Christ at the age of 14. Okay, but at 13, I said, I want to live. Okay, that is how Hezekiah felt. He wants to live. Okay, so that is his recollection. And then he tells us what went through his mind from verses 11 to 17. Now, it will take me a long time to explain the different emotions that is mentioned in those verses, which is not my intention. Okay, my intention is for us to see verses 18 and 19. 18 says, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Okay, so having expressed his emotional thoughts and feeling in the verses before this, the whole thing that is in his heart and mind is this: God, I want to live. And he says, God, I want to live, because the living, only the living, is able to praise God. And this is true, right? We are living, so we are able to sing and praise God and worship God. And that is what Hezekiah is saying. God, only the living is able to praise you, not those who have gone to the grave. In other words, the dead cannot praise God. Now, do not get the whole idea wrong. Okay? Yes, we who are Christians, when we are taken out of this world, we go to heaven. In heaven, we will be there praising God. You know? But what Hezekiah is saying is this: that on earth, in this earthly terrestrial realm, the living are able to praise God. Okay. And that's what I want and you want. And that's what we must be thankful for our lives. You know, unfortunately, today there are people who take so lightly with their lives. I mean, we see people who do extreme kind of sports. Okay? I don't know what extreme sports. I saw one where they actually cycle from the top of the mountain, you know, and they go through different scary terrain. Now, one miss, they actually fall right down. Yeah? And right down, it's not all. It means death. People take that kind of, you know, action to do extreme sports. Okay. Now, these people wanted to do something extreme for some glory. Okay? They become a world champion for such a sport. Right? But we see that there are people who take very lightly with their lives by doing the wrong things. Going into drugs. Right? And then one very unhealthy, not even unhealthy, I say, a practice that mystifies many of us is that young people are taking their own lives. Okay, it's so sad. You know, yeah. I mean, we heard of it, but if something happened to someone you know, it makes a big difference. Yeah, you knew that I run the Boys Brigade in Singapore, and then a student came from Cambodia to study in the school and was in a BB. And then one afternoon, he took his own life. Now, I mean, none of us could figure out the reasons for taking his own life. You know, he's happy with a BB. Alright, we promoted him to take leadership. Every holiday he goes back home to Cambodia. His parents owned a kind of business in Cambodia. You know, we thought that things are well, but he took his own life. Alright. Why? At the age of 15, 16, he was in sec 4, 16 years old. Now, we want to come back to what Hezekiah says. Hezekiah says, the living shall praise God. So I say, Hezekiah is a king who wants to live to praise God. So, dear brothers and sisters, we want to live so that we can be praising God. And start praising God now. Psalm 115 verse 17 actually says the same thing. The living shall praise God. And we should be praising God for our lives. We should be thankful for our lives. The last few verses tells us that Hezekiah wants to praise God. In verse 20, he says, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my praises to the string instrument all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." So he wants to praise God all the days of his life. You know? Now, there is a message here. The message is this, that our lifespan should be decided by God. Okay? So if any man comes and says, "No, my life is mine, I have the right to end it when I want," this person is saying those words, acting upon those words out of the will of God. Alright? Because Hezekiah says, "All the days of my life I praise God until the time when he sees fit to take me out of this world." Then 21 is interesting. Okay, God, through Prophet Isaiah, instructed him to take a lump of figs and then put it on the ball, and then he recovered. Okay, now we have to ask our doctor, is there any medicinal property, you know, in this figs? We can buy fig, okay, Mid Eastern fig here. Huh? You can buy dry, you can buy fresh. Okay, can that fig be used for any skin disease, you know, you put on it and you get well? I don't know. But the only thing I know is God says, "You do this," he followed. So we see the obedience of Hezekiah. Okay. Lastly, in verse 22, Hezekiah also had said, "What is the sign that I shall go to the house of the Lord?" He says, "I want to go to the house of the Lord." Okay. That's the heart's desire. You know? So, I want to go to the house of the Lord. I want to get well so that I can go to the house of the Lord. Going to the house of the Lord is part of my life. Now, we are Christians. We know Sunday going to church. Many of you, coming to church is part of your life, isn't it? Every Sunday morning, come to church. Okay? Never mind about what is happening. Not important. World Cup final can be in Wembley. I'll still come to church. Because this is a part of my life. And that is what Hezekiah wants. Okay. So, we thank God now for our life. We want to praise Him. We want to worship Him. We want to serve Him. Okay. We want God to use us to the maximum, in a sense, that when the time comes, God says, "You are ready to be taken home. We are ready to go home." May God help us. I hope this sharing from this person, King Hezekiah, encourages us to live life to the fullest for the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the life of King Hezekiah. Thank you that you have blessed him. We added years of service for you. And we realize also that we are living because you have added years to our life so that we can serve you. Help us to be consecrated in our Christian life. Lord, use us for your glory. We commit ourselves into your loving hand. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.